Now, Midrabbanan, we know that in order to carry in any area, you need four mechitzas, four walls. Now, Midaraisa, Rosh Hashanah, has a certain condition. You know, whether it needs 600,000 or not, it has to be a certain width. But Midrabbanan, surely, in order to be permitted to carry, you need four walls. Without four walls, you are not permitted to carry Midrabbanan, and usually that place is called a Carmel. Now, let's talk about the requirements of the wall around the area to make it a Rishus HaYachid. Number one, a mechitz has to be 10 tefachim high. That's the first claw. It has to be 10 tefachim high. Now, what is a tefach? A tefach is anywhere from 3, 3.5 inches, maybe somewhat more. Ramesha usually goes with 3 and 3.5 inches. So we're talking about something not terribly high, 30 to 35 inches. Another requirement is that the wall has to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. Meaning, if you're going to have a space between the wall and the ground, it's called a mechitza tluya, and it's not a kashera wall. So if you have a fence or a wall that doesn't hit the ground for some reason, it happens often with chain-linked fences. Sometimes there's an erosion of the ground underneath. And if you're going to have 3 tefachim between the bottom of the wall or fence and the ground, it is no good. That's called a mechitza tluya.
How many tefachim to a foot?
Well, a foot is 12 inches, and a tefach is from 3 to 3.5 inches. So you're talking about 4 or maybe less. Now, Ramesha writes, if I'm not mistaken, you could depend on 3 inches for a tefach for mile d'rabbanan. So in this case, if you have a 30-inch wall, it would be sufficient. So that is the second klal. Now, there's a very important halach in Hilchas Mechitzas, which is called lavid. If it's less than 3 tefachim, it's considered as if it's solid or as if it's together. So theoretically, someone can make a fence with sticks and put the sticks within 3 tefachim of each other. And even though he's going to have more openings than closed, because the sticks could really just be a fraction of an inch wide, that should be kosher because there's halacha of lavud. That's the halacha of lavud. Likewise, if you have horizontal sticks or strings going across, and they're each within 3 tefachim of each other, it's as if it's closed. That is called lavud. So therefore, even though I say you have to have a solid wall, but solid is defined in halacha as being within 3 tefachim of each other. However, before you build a wall that only has sticks going this way or sticks going that way, you have to ask a shaila, because that's called a mechitza shel shesi or mechitza shel eir, which means it's a mechitza that either goes vertical or horizontal, and it's very possible that it doesn't help in all circumstances. It only helps if it's a place where there's a lot of people living there. So before you decide to use such a mechitza that only has shesi or eiriv, you have to have a shaila. It's restricted how much it could cover, and it's restricted you have to have a certain amount of people living there. But that's just enough to raise the question. Another requirement of the wall is that it has to be oimid beruach metzuya. It has to be able to stand a normal wind. Now, when I say it has to withstand a normal wind, it doesn't mean that it has to be so weak that it'll be toppled over. It's sufficient if it's going to shake. Then it's going to render the mechitza not being a mechitza al pi halacha. But what does shaking mean? Most people would say shaking means that you could see it perceptibly shaking. You could observe it shake. The Chazonish is mesupik, even though I think Ladaiti really doesn't want to be makel at the end, he says the shaking has to shake to the extent that the mechitza will be puzzled. Meaning like this. Let's say you have a mechitza like this. It shakes. That's no problem. But if it shakes below 10 tefachim, that's a problem. Even when it's not shaking. So the Chazon Ish takes really a interesting viewpoint. He says when the Gemara says a mechitza that shakes is no good, it means it shakes to the extent that it will be possible, which means it shakes to the point of not being a mechitza. The pashup shot in shaking means that you could perceptibly see it shake. And others offer maybe different shiurim, but ideally a mechitza should not shake in a ruach mitzuyim. Doesn't mean if a hurricane comes, hurricane season is upon us, it doesn't mean the mechitza can't shake. It means a ruach mitzuya, I guess a wind that is anticipated and expected. So therefore, that's the halacha of mechitza has to be oimed beruach mitzuya. Now, let me just finish this. We all know that they have the big shiloh with the canvas sukkahs. Canvas sukkahs are sukkahs that have a frame, and the walls are made out of canvas. They shake normally. So there was some paiskim who said, that's no good. Just like for mechitza Shabbos, it's no good. It's not good for daif and sukkah. You can't have a sukkah wall that shakes. Others say it shakes like the Chazon Ish, but it doesn't become puzzle when it shakes. Because even though it goes back and forth, but the mechitza is constantly a kosher mechitza in whatever position it's standing. In order for the shaking to puzzle it, it has to shake to the extent that it will be possible, like I said, it would go below 10 tefachim. Others argue if it's tied in the bottom and on the top and it just shakes in the middle, it's also good. Akoponim, if you're making a mechitza Shabbos, best is it that it shouldn't shake at all. Yes, Yoel.
What if you live in a community where you have hurricanes four times, let's say, a summer, in Florida, let's say? It's always going to be three or four hurricanes in summer. Is that considered
rule for interesting Shiloh. Let's say you live in New Orleans. I think they're predicting more hurricanes this year or in the south. Good question. What would you say? And what would you tell people? I would argue a little bit like this. They ask a good question. What does Ruach Mitzuya mean? Ruach Mitzuya means four times a year. I don't know if that qualifies for Ruach Mitzuya, the fact that it's going to come four times a year. But the Gemara talks about a Ruach Mitzuya B'yam, right? B'yam, that is not a ruach mitzuya b'yabasha. So if you have a sukkah on a boat, even though it's a ruach mitzuya b'yam, but if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara in sukkah says you judge by ruach mitzuya b'yabasha. Now, what do we understand that to mean? Do we understand that to mean that just yam we don't consider? Or ruach mitzuya b'yabasha was understood by the Gemara to mean a certain strength. So even if you live in the yam, or you live on the mountains, or you live in a hurricane area, it could be, it's still subject to the objective ruach mitzuya, I guess, in the normal place where you live. You know which sukkah I'm referring to? In Masechta Sukkah? So you have to check out that sukkah. Because the Achrayim say, let's say you live in a place that's very pacified, between four mountains. There's no ruach at all. There's no ruach at all. If you blow on it, it's going to shake. So you tell me it's kosher because it never shakes. Or you tell me no. If you live in a place that is normal, it would shake. Kibdumani, the svar is, if you live in a place that is normal, it would shake. So in this case, even though it doesn't shake, it's possible. Just like if you live in the yam, and it does shake, but since it wouldn't shake, therefore it's kosher, because it could be the shear of ruach mitzuya is an absolute shear given in those terms, not subject where you live. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Another way one could make a mechitza is by a slope. We know that if something slopes and it rises within four amis, 10 tefachim, that incline is enough to be a mechitza. So let's say, for instance, you live on a mountaintop or you live in a valley. It doesn't have to be so dramatic. It happens all the times in the mountains. And you have a cliff. You have to really measure the cliff if you can. If it rises 10 tefachim before you went 4 amis, that would be considered a mechitza. So really, a mechitza could be like this. This hill could be a mechitza, and you could live on top. Because a mechitza doesn't necessarily have to encircle the place where you are. Let's say, for instance, this is a very nice hill, and it has vertical lines. On top is a rishus hayachid, even though we don't really have walls which can be seen when you're on top, because you don't have to have mechitzas encircling you. The mechitzas could be below you. You could be on a mountain, and the walls of the mountain can be a mechitza. This is surely one of the considerations
when you speak about islands, whether it's Manhattan or some other island, whether the water around it can be considered a mechitza, not the water, but the slope till you get to your land. That could be a mechitza. So these are factors in considering when you have a mechitza. So you remember, you have to make your mechitza sturdy. They have to be within three tefachim of the ground. Shesi ve'erev, if it's vertical or horizontal, you have to remember to ask a shayla. And a mechitza has to be minimally 10 tefachim high. If it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not a mechitza. Yeah. If it's in the middle, so the mechitza is in the middle.
Right, the middle is where it's going to be. Right?
No.
At any point during the cliff, you'll have such a vertical.
Sure. Right. You just have to make your configuration around the whole.
Around the whole thing.
Right. 100%.
So if by definition, if you're on a mountain, you should have be able to carry.
If it's true that the mountain has such a steep slope. In other words, it has to rise 10. Tvachim before you go four amos.
All the way around? Or just on one spot?
Well, wherever it is, it's a mechitza. You need four mechitzas. It's going to have to be all the way around. You could maybe substitute a mechitza, a wall on the other side. But you're going to have mechitzas on all four sides.
How much is an amma?
An amma, let's take Ramesh's weaker shear, because this is a milsad rabbanon, so it's 18 inches.
All mountains go like that, right?
You know, I'd have to agree with you if they're so steep. You're right. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I guess the mountains we see from the roads look kind of steep, but when you're going up certain highways, you know, it's a very slow rise, and it'll be a problem because you remember, like Yoni asked, it has to really encircle the whole mountain, so it's not good enough if one side is steep. Now, there's another problem which I'll mention now, which may be to a mountain. Now, there's a halacha of a karfus. What does that mean? If you encircle an area where it's encircled naturally, but it's not for living purposes, or you can't live there based upon the physical terrain, like some mountains, so if it's 5,000 square feet, the halacha is that you can't carry there, even though it's a Rishus HaYachid Midaraisa. So let's say, for instance, you decided to put a fence around a tremendous area, but the area is not a place where you could live. There's swamps, even though you live right at the edge of that area, but there's limited living behavior you could have there.
Forest.
Well, a forest where you could walk wouldn't be a problem if you could walk there fairly decently. It depends whether you could walk. A forest generally is not so walkable. Trees planted, the Gemara is a machlokes and says that's fine because people like shade. But if
the, walk around the trees, walk,
well, no, with the forest, you have between the forest, you could have brush, you could have thorns. The trees aren't the impediment. The impediment is what's between the trees.
Do you need a 5,000 square foot area that is unwalkable?
Unwalkable, right. You can't walk through that 5,000, which is not very big. What's 5,000 square feet? 100 by 50. What's 100 by 50? 5,000, no? 500, 5,000, right? So it's not that big. So if you cannot inhabit that area, even if it's encircled, it's considered a karmelis midrabon. Now, there's a big shaila in the Paiskim, probably one of the major problems with Erevin around cities. Very big cities often have 5,000 square feet, which are garbage dumps, junkyards, that you can't live there. Does that render the whole city to be a reshus of Carmelis? Because even though you have a wall around the whole city, or a pencil around the whole city, but within the city you have a Carmelis that doesn't lend itself to be mutter with walls. That's a shaila. The Beralacha speaks about it, and he discussed that shaila. Some are makel in a city as opposed to being in private sections, but in any event, just keep that in mind. That's one of the problems of constructing an Erev. So now we have our walls. The walls are 10 tefachim high.
They're within three tefachim from the ground. They're not shaking. I said you need four walls. Now, if you have four walls, you have a problem getting in. So you have to have an opening. Now, of course, you could have an opening that closes, but you don't have to be that particular. If you have an opening less than 10 amis, that is called a pesach, and it doesn't render the wall or the mechitza to be puzzle, providing you have more wall than opening. Let's take a case. Let's say this is one wall. Let's do it this way. This is one wall around my house. It's 10 tefachim high, of course. And this, let's say, is 20 feet wide. So I want to make an opening here, let's say, and after the opening, I'm going to continue with another wall. If that opening is 10 amis or less, it's not a problem. Why? Because 10 amis is called a pesach. It's not called a pirza, meaning it's an opening. And I have oimen merubal aparetz. I have more closed than opening. Now, what is 10 amis? Now, you can't be peseach hashtei asifim, you know. If you want to make 3 inches of tefach for the height of your wall, which means to say it's going to be 30 tefachim, you can't make this 10 amis by using a tefach of 3.5 tefachim. Then you'll be tired to the sasre. Mamonashach, you won't have a kasher or mechitza. But in any event, be on the safe side, make 3 inches of tefach. There's no problem, as long as you have more oimid than paritz. Oimid ruval paritz, it's fine, providing the pirza is not more than 10 amis. Now, the Gemara says you could really have, let's say you have an opening of 10 here. You could have 6 here and 6 on the other side of the opening. It doesn't necessarily have to be on one side. You could have your wall on 2 sides of the opening. The opening's in the middle, providing you have more closed than opening. Now, once you get a lot of different openings, you may run into problems which are beyond the giving over in the shear, because there are halachas that when you have thin walls by big openings on both sides, that renders the wall no good. Like, I'll give you an example. What happens if you have something which is 2 amis wide and you have 4 amis here of opening, 4 amis here of opening? It could render the middle not being good. Be on the safe side. Don't do that, or ask a shayla. Have someone who knows Hilchos Erev and take a look. But in any event, you don't have to have it completely closed. It can be open. The opening can't be more than 10 amis. The opening has to be 10 amis or less. And you need oimid meruba ala paritz in order to be machshir. I should have really said this in the beginning of this year, but just like we do not go into stores to buy food without a hechsher that we respect, you really shouldn't carry in a place with an Erev without a hechsher that we have confidence in, because it's more difficult, I think, to create an Erev around a large area than to cook an egg or to bake bread. I mean, baked bread is not complicated. Today, with all the ingredients, who knows, maybe it does take a lot of expertise. But an Erev, I could tell you, is not so simple to make unless a person is really knowledgeable in Hilchos Erev. And I myself personally have gone to bungalow colonies or private houses and have seen Erevins that are totally puzzle. I went to years ago to a bungalow colony in the mountains, and before Shabbos, I think I was learning Erevin in Kailu many, many years ago, and I decided to take a field trip. Believe me, it wasn't kosher. It was made totally wrong. And then I remember in the community I lived, a person invited the shear, which was given in the Shabbos afternoon, to be in his backyard. And he had no Erev, so he decided, okay, I'll make one for Shabbos. So he took string and he wrapped it around all the trees, you know, from tree to tree. I mean, totally puzzle.
He just made a circle around.
Yeah, and he went from tree to tree. Totally puzzle. I once went to someone's house. He's carrying out in the front of his house. I say, how are you carrying? He says, that's Rosh Hashanah. I say, what if it's Rosh Hashanah? He says, no, front yard belongs to me. I say, we're not talking about Chesh Mishpat. I believe it belongs to you. But there's Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos needs mechitzas. Rosh Hashanah doesn't mean private ownership. Shul Yachid means that it has four mechitzas around it. You have to know a little bit about Hilchos Erev, at least to know when to ask a shayla.
The string was not good because it wasn't long?
No, because the string has to be on top. We'll speak about it. The construction of the Turis HaPes. If they are fairly solid and they don't shake, yes. Shake! If they shake too much, then you run into the problems of shaking. And you have to make sure in the bottom, because sometimes at the bottom, they don't come down as wide as the top, and you have a gap in the bottom. You have to fill up the gap.
The carpet issue, and there said it's machlekes. Within the carpet itself, is it a machlekes whether you can carry?
Yes. The same machlekes. Some have a spar if it's in a town, the carpet loses its chshivas of carpet. Because you can't have it two ways. If you can't carry in the carpet, it has to offer the city. The only reason why they're mekel, because they hold in a shtut, a full city, a karfif loses its significance. That's the pshat in those achrayim. A lake would be a karfif if the water is not drinkable or it's not usable for washing. So let's say two things. Number one, I don't think you could drink the water from Central Park, but that's for sure not. You probably could wash your clothes in it. Even though I heard from Rabbi Eider years ago that Rav Moshe held today, the fact that you can wash your clothes in water is not a factor because no one does it outside. So you even lose that heter. They probably depend on the fact that since it's a city, so maybe a karfif doesn't osir in a city. In a city, a full city, it becomes tuffel and bottle. Well, I imagine they depend on that. I know the Chazon Ish felt that you can't make an Erev around the city because of this problem, in addition to other problems he had. But this problem, when it's a city itself, many are mekel in a city that becomes bottle. Even the Chavetz Chaim writes, B'shas HaTchag, it's much better if you could cordon it off. Meaning, you'd put a Turis HaPes around the carpet, and therefore it won't affect the city. What? There's no 10 amos when you go in. You think it's less than 10 amos, the walls? Those walls are not, it's not, when you go on 86th Street, it's not 10 amos across. Yeah, you know, 10 amos is how much? We say an amos is a foot and a half. 15 feet. Sure. You take some, a Hummer wouldn't be able to get in. No, a Hummer is at least 8 feet, no? Okay. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Now, let me just tell you an interesting halacha that it may be theoretical, but for me it was once l'maisa. I just explained to you that you have to have more closed than open. That's called oima meruba ala paritz. But even though if you have more closed than open, it can't be more than 10 amos wide. Now, there's a halacha in the Gemara, pischa b'keren zavus l'yav d'yinshi, meaning to say like this. If you have a wall here, and a wall here, and a wall here, but your wall goes diagonally like this, diagonally, it's not good, even if it's less than 10 amos. Why? Because it's not considered a pesach, because pischa b'keren zavus l'yav d'yinshi. So therefore, if you're going to have such a configuration, which I once saw this, in my show, everyone thought they had a wall around their area. I said, 1 second, you can't use it because the wall goes here and the wall goes here and it's diagonal. It doesn't come up across it. That's called pischa b'keren zavus l'yav d'yinshi. People don't make walls in corners. A very innocuous mistake, but it renders the mechitza to be no good. Pischa b'keren... An opening, right. We're not talking about a Turis HaPes. We're talking about, usually we say if more closed than open, it's good because I'm Meruvah Ala Paritz. Here we're saying it won't help you, I'm in Meruvah Ala Paritz. Why? Because it has to be a Pesach when it's 10 amos or less. The Keren Zavis, it's not a Pesach. It's a break. It's a Pirsa. That's called Pischa, the Keren Zavis, Layav Dinsh. You look around, you can have it sometimes in a nice little backyard, they put some chain link fence. For some reason, you know, they had an opening in the corner. That's no good. Pischa b'keren zavus l'yav d'yinshi. Now,
there can't be any space?
More than three tefachim. Less than three tefachim we allow, because that's loved. But more than three tefachim, can't do it. Yeah?
Walling the carpet off of Turis HaPes, what if one side of it is also part of your...
Doesn't matter.
That's fine?
Yeah, it's a wall. You can use it for both sides. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about what everyone calls an Erev, which is a Tzuras HaPesach. Really, a Tzuras HaPesach should not be called an Erev because an Erev, really, strictly speaking, is an Erev Chatzeres, is when you have different people who live in one enclosed area and they have to join in a piece of bread to become unified as one family. But we call the Tzuras HaPesach around a community, around a house, around the bungalow colony. We call that an Erev because it allows us to make an Erev. I think the Rashba says, in fact, it allows us to make an Erev. That's called an Erev. But really, a Tzuras HaPesach is a mechitza. What is a Tzuras HaPesach? Kishmoy kachu. It's a doorway. So let's say, for instance, you have an area that you want to enclose and you don't want to build a fence. You don't want to build a chain link fence. You can put a Tzuras HaPesach around all four sides. That's how we're knowing. Most people are knowing that way. The Rambam has a shita, which even though Chavetz Chaim says some are machmer, but most of the Yoilim is not machmer l'maisa, and you put a Tzuras HaPesach around your backyard, front yard, bungalow colony, city, community. As I said, a Tzuras HaPesach is a doorway. And to bring home the point that it's a doorway, the Chazon Ish writes that when you put a Tzuras HaPesach around your city, you should put a mezuzah on it. If it's a doorway, no fraudulent doorways, please. You have to put a mezuzah on your doorway. So therefore, if you have a Tzuras HaPesach and you want to be machmer like the Chazon Ish, you'll be the first person who has a mezuzah on its Tzuras HaPesach. I assume in Bnei Brak, I'd love to look around in Bnei Brak to see if they have mezuzahs on the Tzuras HaPesach. Now, a Tzuras HaPesach could be one you constructed, or it could be a natural one. If for some reason you have wires that qualify to be a Tzuras HaPesach, that is sufficient. That was a big machlokes in the Paiskim, whether that's permissible. The argument against making it permissible was, the Gemara says the Tzuras HaPesach, which is not made for a doorway, is not a good Tzuras HaPesach, not chayv mezuzah. The wires of the telephone or telegraph were not made for a Tzuras HaPesach. The ones who argue and say, fine, it's not a Tzuras HaPesach, but if you want to use it for a Tzuras HaPesach, your mind and your machshava alone could turn it into a Tzuras HaPesach, which is a little bit of chiddush in Svara, because it's not yours, you don't own it. So, because you look at someone else's wires and telephone poles and say, you want this to be a Tzuras HaPesach, it becomes a Tzuras HaPesach, it's not so simple in Svara. Al-Kulpanim, this is the machlokes, whether a Tzuras HaPesach has to be made l'shem Tzuras HaPesach or not. Yeah.
When the Gemara said that you can't use it, didn't it clearly mean that you want it to use it?
No, it was talking about mezuzah. We don't have a Gemara Lagabe. Now, a Tzuras HaPesach consists of two poles, which are called doorposts l'chayim, and on top is called the Kon al Gabeim, or maybe it's called the Mashkif, and in English it's called, as we use the word, the lintel for some reason. That's a Tzuras HaPesach. Now, let me give you some of the parameters in a Tzuras HaPesach, very important. The poles on the side cannot shake, the same way a wall cannot shake. The poles on the side cannot shake with the same limitations and halachas of the wall. So therefore, if it's shaking your Tzuras HaPesach, your walls on the side, it's no good. However, the mashkif on top, whether it's a piece of wood that meets both doorposts, or as we usually have, a piece of wire, that's the machzah shekel, and some are makel that it can shake. Some are makel that it can shake, and I think that is the minigoylum. However, it is very important to make it as taut and as tight as possible, as we will see. It's not good when it loops. It has to be as taut and tight as possible. We'll get to that in a moment. So far, what do we have? We have two doorposts, and we have a lintel on top. That is your doorpost. Doesn't look much like a doorpost, but it is a doorpost. The two doorposts on the side have to be solid, and the lintel on top, it could shake a little, but it shouldn't shake too much, as we will see. How tall does your doorpost have to be? A minimum of 10 tefachim, just like a wall has to be 10 tefachim. Now, your Tzuras HaPesach could be as big as you want it, as tall and as wide as you want it, other than the Shittas HaRambam, which we won't go into. Which means you could put two poles, they could be 30 feet tall, and sometimes you want it to be tall because you don't want the cars or the trucks that come in to knock it over, and it could be hundreds of feet apart from each other. Truthfully, if you're going to make it too far apart, you're going to have problems with your string on top. It won't be so taut and tight. But theoretically, a Tzurusa Pesach has no shear. Now, let me just tell you that even though, as we will learn, the lintel has to be on top of the doorpost, you can't put it on the side. It has to be on top, kon agabeim, but it doesn't have to be resting on top. It could be even tens of feet on top of it. So let's say, for instance, you have a short stick. That's 10 tefachim. You knock it against the wall, you put it in the ground. You take a string, and you put it high on your house, tens of feet above your 10 tefachim stick. That's fine, providing it is on top of it. You have to make sure you made no mistake. Providing your string is on top. You got to make sure it's on top. If it comes down not on top, then it's no good. But it doesn't have to touch it. Now, there is halacha. I've seen some people, they are very creative, and they don't have wood. So they get little pieces of wood, and they knock them together, and they make their lechi. Some hold that if you, let's say you have small pieces of wood, and you knock it in, let's say, into the wall, and then you knock the next piece of wood with a gap in between, but it's not a continuous piece of wood. Some say that's pischei shamoy, and it's not good for Tzurusa Pesach. You should have a continuous piece of wood. I don't think there's a din of zek keli v'anveyu on a Tzurusa Pesach. I'd imagine it's not tashmi shemitzvah. Would you agree to that, Yoel? No zek keli v'anveyu. I guess on a wall, no. You know, maybe it's sentimental, you're being mater carrying, but I don't think there's that Kalev Yanveu on it.
Can it be wood or can it be metal?
Anything. It could be. Now, let's discuss a little bit about this string, which I said should be taut and should be tight. Some hold the string on top shouldn't move at all. That's the minig is to be makel. But two things you should be careful. If the string is loose enough that it blows out between the imaginary line of the two poles, that's no good. Now, some would say it's no good even when it's within the lines, and some would say it's surely no good when it's out of the lines. But mistaver, it's no good even when it's in the lines, if a ruach metzuya could blow it out. But in any event, you shouldn't have a string that could be blown out between the two poles. Also, you shouldn't have a string that slopes in the center more than three tefachim. So therefore, the best thing is to get it as taut as possible. And also, if you have very thin poles, you're causing yourself more problems because a little bit give is going to put the string outside of the space between the two poles. You should have a nice 2x4, you know, get it a little, you know, 2x2 also if it's not such a long place from one to the other. Now, there is a big machloikis in the Achronim when you make your Tzuras HaPesach, must it be up against the wall? I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a wall here, and you don't want to make another wall here, so you put a Tzuras HaPesach, right? So if I put a wall here, and let's say this is 40 feet, I'd only have to make a wall maybe 40 feet. If it's 50 feet, I'd make it 40 feet. Why? Because I'm in Meruba. Some hold the Tzuras HaPesach has to be up against the wall. You can't have a Tzuras HaPesach that doesn't meet the other wall. Within three tefachim is lovin. Nothing to worry about. Lovin, we always say, has the halacha as if it is together. But l'chatchila, your Tzuras HaPesach should be flush against the other wall or within three tefachim of the other wall. You shouldn't have your Tzuras HaPesach and say, listen, you're such a lamdan, the Tzuras HaPesach is a wall. Just like when I have a wall, I say, I'm in Merubah L'Paritz, let me say it by Tzuras HaPesach. No. The Achrayim say you cannot do that. As good as the Tzuras HaPesach is, it's only a Tzuras HaPesach. It's not a solid wall, and therefore it should meet the other wall.
Okay. Is that only two Tzuras HaPesach, or one Tzuras HaPesach on the wall also?
No, two Tzuras HaPesachs also. In other words, if you have a Tzuras HaPesach and a Tzuras HaPesach and they don't meet?
That I'm saying, but what if you have a Tzuras HaPesach on a wall? Are we also machmer that it has to be that they have to meet?
Oh, on this side. No, because you can have Oymer Meruba with the Tzuras HaPesach, L'chura. In other words, the wall would close that place. The only concern is that the Pesach can't close that wall. But if you have a wall that could close that opening, then you wouldn't need the Tzuris of Pesach to close it, then it would be good L'chur.
Right, right.
You're masking me, yes or no? Yes or no? Someone could ask you the Shiloh. Yes.
I don't understand the construction side. You must have a wall on some side.
No, no.
You're going to have string all around.
Yeah, right. Many people put strings. They take four poles. They connect all four poles with string. And we have what's known as a Rishus HaYochid. Right. A Mechitza Linyan Shabbos. It's not good for Sukkah. Why isn't it good for Sukkah? A person could dispense with his sell new Sukkahs, you know, this year. Selling easiest to assemble Sukkah. Four poles with strings. You know why? The Ron says. Why not? Because Sukkah needs more than walls. It needs Tfanis for Dira. A person doesn't want to live in a house that has Tzuris HaPesach for walls. There's no privacy. So therefore, when it comes to Sukkah, we have a requirement not only for walls, mechitzas, for Tfanis. A person in the shul can't make a mechitza from a Tzuris HaPesach either and say, hey, it's a wall. There we need blockage, like by Sukkah. Whatever the mechitz is, it has to prevent seeing. Hilchos Shabbos is easy. Hilchos Shabbos needs what halach is a mechitza. So it's a Pesach qualifies for a mechitza. Yes, Yoni.
The tree has a tree?
Well, the tree is pretty complicated. You have to put it on top of the tree. Now, if the tree goes like this, whether you could put it here is subject to a machlokes. In other words, we didn't go through all these cases. I have them coming up, but they're pretty complicated. I told you have to put the string on top, right? What happens if you have a piece of wood like this? So I want to put it on top of this one. Would that be good? Hosh, this it would be good because it's on top of this part. The Chofetz Chaim doesn't seem to be so clear about it, or the Makor Chaim. But Hosh, this it would be good. But so therefore, you could argue if I have a tree that separates here and here, and I put it here, it's on top of this part of the tree. What do I care if there are other parts of the tree that go above? As long as this has nothing that goes above it. Pashas, it would be good. But you have to find the ideal tree. Now, when you go through a tree, you have to be careful because sometimes the branches are not going to let your string go straight and it won't be between the two poles. Now, you may start off the summer with a string that went straight from pole to pole, but as the tree grows, it's going to push the string outside of the two poles. A very common problem, especially if you're making an Erev around a house that has a lot of trees. You have to check your Erev. Now, is there a halach you have to check your Erev? Without doubt, depending upon its construction. I mean, if you make an Erev out of steel, and you have a beautiful heavy cord above it that you know is going to resist any type of climate, and you don't have to check it. The average Erev, you know, is subject to problems. And this growth problem is a problem. Many Erev get pushed to the side when you have the growing season in June, July. It pushes it literally outside of the two poles. You have to have a person check the Erev in such cases. Okay, so that's the din of the Tzuris HaPesach. The Tzuris HaPesach is constructed in such a fashion. Also, you shouldn't put your pole in four mechitzas, the Achrayim say. For instance, what happens if you have a pole and you want to plant one pole, let's say in a little vegetable garden? The vegetable garden is surrounded by four mechitzas. No good. The pole has to be put in a place that is not fenced around. Not everyone holds this way. I think some cipher is chaylik. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was told that the Erev around part of your Shlaim must have five Erevins wherever you go. You know, this community has. But I was told that the Erev of one community has its pole in the Gan HaChayot. I don't think the Gan HaChayot is there anymore in your Shlaim. Is it?
No.
The zoo. It's not there anymore. When I was there at Yisrael, I remember it was there. Somebody told me the pole was planted in the Gan HaChayot. The Gan HaChayot was surrounded by Mechitza. But the Chassam Sofer, I don't think, was chayshish for this shita. But the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, the Kar Chaim brings it down, and the Chazon Ish supports the shita. So you should try to put your pole not in an area that is fenced around. Now, the Rebbe Kveger brings down a halacha that sometimes there's a shortage of lumber, so you have one piece of wood that's, let's say, 8 feet tall, and one piece of lumber that's 6 feet tall. And you have a nice slope going from one to the other. Ramesha writes, it shouldn't slope noticeably. If it slopes more than 45 degrees, it's no good. If it slopes more than 45 degrees, it's no good. But that's presumably if it's on a flat plain. But if it's on a hill, then the slope could go according to the hill, the way I understand. Now, as I mentioned before, one of the important halachas is that you have to put your string on top and not string on the bottom. You can have a nail on top, and which we usually do, and you wrap the string around the nail. In fact, you could wrap the string around the wood as long as it comes up later over the wood and goes out. That's called Tzuras HaPesach Min HaTzad. Let me tell you an interesting halacha. I once went into someone's house. Now, the halachas of mezuzah and the halachas of Erev are very closely related. What we find by mezuzah, we find by Erev. So somebody had an interesting case in his house that he had a doorpost and he had his mezuzah min atzad. In other words, the lintel wasn't on top, it was on the bottom. You know, Frankish Kinkashis, you can do what you want with architecture, you know. This is how the guy had mezuzah pesach min atzad. So I told him, you know, I think you should put a mezuzah there. Question is why. We see that for an Erev, it's only considered Tzuras HaPesach if it's on top, not on bottom, right? So I told him, because it says by Kloyim that when you have Tzvua here and you have a vine here, it's an Isser Kloyim, you can't plant them together, but if you have a Tzuras HaPesach between them, it's all right. It's all right. The Gemara says you could have a Tzuras HaPesach min atzad in order to separate the wheat from the wine. So the question is, if it helps by Kliyim, why doesn't it help by Shabbos? So the Gemara says in Erev, right? Because Chumr the Shabbos. It would seem to me, if you're Mater Kliyim with the Tzuras HaPesach min atzad, that tells me Midoraisa to Tzuras HaPesach. That's an Isser Midoraisa. In Hilchos Shabbos we were Machmer. So in Hilchos Shabbos you're Machmer. And we say a Tzuras HaPesach min atzad is no good. When it comes to mezuzah, the din d'oraisa should be chal, and you should have to put a mezuzah up. That's what it seems. Machmer the Shabbos, right? The rabbanim of Shabbos were more machmer than Shabbos, right? Machmer, it's only the rabbanim of Shabbos, because the Tzuras HaPesach around the Rishus HaRabim is very controversial. If it could help, but for the chumra of Shabbos, we're machmer. That's the lashon haGemara. So it would seem to be, if you're taking off this or climbs and this is the raisa, planting tefua next to wine, next to grapevines. So it must be that min hadin it is considered a tzuras haPesach. So it's only a chumra of Shabbos. So by mezuzah, how can we make? Oh, there is a problem with this because Taisus seems to say that midoraisa it's not a tzuras haPesach. Because Taisus says after kasha it says pesach by the mishkan and by the mishkan's min atzad. So what's his kasha? But the rice it is a tzuras haPesach. The Mishkan Yaakov, I think, asked that kasha. I don't know if we can answer the kasha on Taisus. Maybe the psach would be changed. But pashas, the cheshbon from the Gemara is that tzuras haPesach min atzad is a tzuras haPesach, and therefore you should be chayiv a mezuzah. That's what it seems. Okay, so I think we all know how to build our tzuras haPesach, if not to build, at least to check them out, to make sure that they look good. You really have to make sure, basically, that the string is pretty taut, the poles are 10 tefachim high, it doesn't lose its straightness from one to the other, the din of ayim ruba, you know, should be machmer, the tzuras haPesach should come up to the wall, it shouldn't stop before the wall. The Chofetz Chaim, and most are makel if these are not straight. The Briska Rav and the Chazon Ish both held that these have to be totally straight.
Straight up,
right. Totally straight, which is extremely hard to do. Ribero would say over that the Briska Rav, since he was the Rav of the town and he took his rabbinical responsibilities very seriously, he would check the Erev Shabbos together with the Dayan of Bris from Simcha Zelig. Now, how are you supposed to check a pole to see whether it's straight? They didn't have the laser gun that you could shoot it. What you do is you get a ladder, you climb up, you take a string with a rock at the bottom, you put it next to the pole, and you see. If the string hugs the pole, you know it's straight. If the string goes and it's away from the pole, you know your pole's crooked, right? That's basic carpentry rules. You don't need rocket science for that, right? And he said he spent a long time, I don't want to say for certain if he said hours, but he said a long time, every Erev Shabbos, to check all the poles, and it was probably a substantial city, I'm not sure how they did it, because he held this chumrah that the poles have to be totally, totally straight. The Chofetz Chaim writes, they could be crooked, you know, they don't have to be straight, and I think that's the minhag ha'olam. We're not so machbid that they should be straight. But Uncle Potem, I leave you off with that thought, that both the Rizkrov and the Chazanish held. Now, the way you get, you know, somebody told me what they did in Bnei Brak in some places, they sunk poles in barrels. Now, the barrels had a circumference of maybe 2-3 feet. So they used the barrel, really, as the lechi, and the pole was just a way that you hang on the string, because we learned that the string doesn't have to really touch the pole. Those barrels are very straight, you know. So somebody told me that's what they do in Bnei Brak or in some places. They put the lechi into a, great idea, no, you're surprised you didn't think of it, into a barrel that has cement in it. And again, I hope they have some padding around it to be safe. And they put the stick in there, so that is the lechi. And the pole is just a way to hook on the string. But that's if you're machmer. But the way Rebel said it over, that his father didn't think it was a chumri. He thought it was nikur din. But obviously others don't, because I don't think we're so machmer on such things. Okay? No, there's no shear next week. No. I'll let